And now, back to the Grillin' Guys Show.
Hey, this is Barbecue Bob. I am at Fen Valley Winery. You know who they are. We've talked about them all the time, and you've heard this man, Brian Lesperance, on the show for years. And I'm actually down at the winery just to interview him because he's too busy making wine to come up and see me.
Thanks, Bob. I don't want to say that, but it's always good to get you out here to see the thing in real life.
Well, and today's a rainy day, and the parking lot's jammed with people. I mean, there's people everywhere, and it's like a Thursday.
We like rainy days because then people can't go to the beach.
Okay. Was that it?
Yeah.
That's it.
So actually, today's a perfect day for us marketing-wise. It was supposed to be nice, and it started raining. So everybody came up, and now they got nothing to do. But we've been really steady anyway.
Well, you've got a lot of events all summer long. I'll be up here on the 23rd for your event. Thanks for getting me a spot in that. Now the thing is to try and get a room in Fenville. That's going to be the trick. But we were talking about your ability to keep up, and they've got the unique problem of not being able to make wine fast enough to satisfy the demand.
Yeah, I mean, part of the challenge is that, you know, it takes a long time to go from wanting more wine to having more wine. The first thing you've got to do is find a good spot. If you've got it in your existing, you know, vineyard, even better. You got to order plants, and they're custom order. Typically, that's about a year out. And then you're going to plant, and you're going to wait 3 to 4 years before you get that first grape. So it could easily be 5 years if everything goes well from the idea that we need more, say, of Pinot Gris until we're drinking a glass of it out here on the veranda. So it's a long-term process. The good news about that is it keeps bubbles from forming, because you're not going to grow any faster than you can, then, you know, you're not going to grow your business any faster than you can grow the grapes. So it does keep things somewhat steady. But we've had a long-term shortage in Michigan as the industry's grown, in terms of the number of wineries, in terms of customers wanting locally produced products, not just wine, but everything. And it'll balance out, I think, in time. We've got a lot of new growers coming online. We're planting a lot on our farm. We're becoming more efficient at growing on the acreage we have. And so I think it will balance out, but we've definitely been in a constrained situation for a while. So we still make more white wine than red wine. But it is shifting. I mean, we're seeing an insatiable demand for good quality dry red wine. It's almost hard to know what that demand looks like, because we don't have enough. So what the sky appears to be the limit there. And as you said, alternate formats continue to be real popular too, whether it's just a screw cap in a traditional bottle, which we're pretty big into now, or a can of wine or hard cider. Consumers are becoming a lot more interested in things that are not traditional and more practical. And that's good, because it's a way to get wine in places where wine wouldn't have gone before. We can really dial in the oxygen permeation levels, so you can really determine how much oxygen you're going to expose the wine to. You can't have none. That's not good for a whole variety of reasons. But the fact that you can really precisely make that decision instead of leave it partly to chance is an advantage. And we still love our cork, though. I mean, a good high-quality Bordeaux red, I think, still belongs in cork. It's what the consumer wants. I think it's still good for the wine. So it's just trying to match up the capsule, the closure, with the wine, instead of just a kind of a one-size-fits-all situation.
So maybe the cap is more popular for a summer wine?
Summer wines that are really oxidative, like a Sauvignon Blanc or a Pinot Gris, where they're really prone to just losing a lot of that crisp, acidic flavor really easily. Those are a great format. Stuff that's a little less serious, so you want to, you know, be out on the patio and not have to remember your corkscrew. That's handy.
Big problem.
I've also found they're pretty handy when you travel, because I've donated so many corkscrews to the TSA, you know, in my days, that it's nice when you go to the grocery store and you can buy one that, you know, you don't need a tool to open. But I still like opening bottles of wine, and I shudder to think how many I've opened.
I think you've opened quite a few for me, so I'm not going to complain. But I'm with you. The TSA's got a few of my Fen Valley wine openers too. I might have to grab one while I'm here. I'm kind of partial to those that you make. So what's looking good for this year, this fall?
So So this growing season's been a little ahead of schedule, which is great. It's been weird because we started out with a kind of a drought after a pretty dry winter, and then we got like a half summer's worth of rain in 4 days. So it's been extremes. But when all the dust settled, the grapes have come through it just fine. And now what we're seeing is being a little ahead. Typically, this is, again, we're playing the odds here, and we're trying to predict Mother Nature. So there's no question we'll be wrong. It's just how will we be wrong. But in general, when you're ahead, it's good because our weather deteriorates as we get further along into the fall.
You know, I don't think people – I grew up on a farm, and I don't think people look at you this way, but really you're a farmer. I mean, you have the same great things and blights that a farm has. I mean, you're so dependent on the weather, on temperature – maybe more so than other farms, but I think where you're situated here in Fenville, Michigan, your grandpa had a great vision.
It's a special site, and in a great year, that doesn't really matter. Where the special sites make a difference are in the not great years, whether it's a cold winter or an early frost in the fall. The special sites that are high up on the hills that get good air flow off Lake Michigan with the right kinds of soils, they're the ones, that's when they really perform. And we've seen that time in and time out. We've got, you know, just more consistency, even as we see ebbs and flows in weather, and that is site-driven. And the other thing is, what we always say is the vintage is made in September. So what we, you know, right now weather is more of a nuisance. When we get into the ripening phase is when we really want those nice, warm, dry days, cool evenings, which we're known for here in Southwest Michigan. That's what just pumps the grapes full of flavor and gets that crisp, acidic, really specific flavors that we tend to see in our area, which is what we're really known for.
So years ago, when I used to come down here and deal with Doug, your father-in-law, Doug Welsh, he would always send me back with a couple bottles of, what's your sweet winter wine?
Well, we do a couple of them, but classic port, which is a port style. That's a nice wine. That's got a really nice kind of cult following.
Amazing.
It's very typical of a sort of very traditional port out of Portugal, where they basically invented the style and the wine. It's a great wine with, you know, like you say, kind of on those winter nights. I love it as a dessert on its own, or put it with
a ski trip maybe.
Yeah, there you go. Put it with some nice cheeses after dinner, and it's just it's a really nice wine. It's also really good with cigars too. Ooh. So that's a nice way to finish the night too.
That I never thought of. Well, I'm gonna have to grab a couple bottles of that because I have a little bit of a fetish for a cigar once in a while. So again, being the farmer, what's looking good this year for you?
So I think we're going to see a really good year for the Reds because we're a little ahead of schedule. Really? We stand a chance. You know, anytime we're ahead, we stand a chance at getting a good year for Reds. The Whites are going to be a little more consistent regardless. But
and they'll harvest early maybe?
Whites tend to come in earlier, which is why they're less affected by the timing of things. But if we can stay this far ahead, which we're in that 1 to 2 week window right now, if we can keep up that pace, we'll be bringing in the Reds fully ripe, you know, by the middle of October, which is a really good thing for us. Typically, that's going to beat the snow for the year. Because once you get that first freeze, it's sort of game over, regardless of where you're at in the ripening process. So, you know, it's way too early to tell. We still got a long ways to go, but we're set up real well right now. We're definitely set up real well for a good year.
So when you get that first freeze, whatever's still on the vines, it's got to come off today.
Well, it doesn't necessarily have to come off today as long as it stays chilly out. You can think of the vineyard at that point like a giant refrigerator that just kind of can hold the fruit until we have room to process it. But we're not going to gain any significant quality at that point.
It locks in the sugar level and everything.
There'll be a slight amount of enzymatic reactions that happen inside the grape, so it's not as though nothing happens, but it's the only reason to wait is just literally logistics. Otherwise, we would totally pick everything we could.
Again, this is Bob. I'm at Fen Valley Winery in Fenville, Michigan. If you haven't been here yet, I find that hard to believe because we've been bragging these guys up for 10 years, and I don't know how else to tell you as I look out over this garden, a beautiful patio area. Parking lot is, I made a mistake, it's Friday. Parking lot's jammed, and it's 3-4 o'clock in the afternoon, and I mean, there's flowers and trees and birds and just miles and miles of grapevines, and it's anything you would have seen in a movie about a vineyard other than Sideways. It's all here. So I just tell you to go to, what's your website?
BenValley.com. We keep it simple.
Yeah, that's good. Go to the website. Check out all the events this summer and try and sign up for one because they fill up fast. I know somebody here, so I happen to sneak into next weekend's, but it's just a special place, and it's one of those Michigan things. And if you like wine, you're not gonna go away disappointed. Brian Lesperance, Fen Valley Winery.
Thanks, Bob. It's always fun to visit.
Hi, this is Shasta with Old World Olive Company. I want to personally invite you to visit one of our tasting rooms and sample any one of our certified extra virgin olive oils or aged balsamic vinegars. My knowledgeable staff can show you hundreds of pairing combinations. We also offer seasonings, tapenades, and specialty wines to complete your meal. So please, step into my kitchen and make a lasting memory of your own. Or you can visit us at theoldworldoliveco.com.
Hey, it's Barbecue Bob. My wife and I recently built a new addition to our home and remade the kitchen. We went to Garrett's and picked out all of our products so that everything would fit in his space well. The selection was from best price to best quality, and the service was great. The delivery team was courteous and careful. Go to Garrett's Appliance, and while you're there, check out the huge selection of top brands of grills and smokers from North America. Garrett's Appliance, where families serve families. Garrett'sAppliance.com.
Now you're a man, now you're a man, you are now a man, now you're a man.
Today's Man Law is made up by Trevor Swanson, our brilliant producer, because I forgot the Man Law and he just pulled this right out of thin air. Today's Trevor Man Law is, it's not unmanly to drink wine.
That's right.
That's like Confucius could have come up with that one.
Right. And it is
or Chuck Norris.
It is unmanly to whine about it, but it isn't. But it isn't unmanly to drink
Alan
wine.
Bob's is all about the big lake fishing, yeah. And they actually even have a charter captain that works there who will take you out on the big lake, and I am definitely going to hook up with him. I just invited Jop to go with me. And
he whined about it.
He whined about it, yeah, because he doesn't do so well on the water.
Apparently, if it's smooth, then I'm good.
Yeah. Lake Michigan was like glass, right. Said no one.
Right. Yeah, but if I get more than a 2-foot chop, I might be making bait.
No chop gonna, for job.
That's right. I'm not the best wave guy on a big lake. I'm just telling you right now.
I have never had an issue with that, but I did take my son Alex out when he was about 12 on my buddy's boat, and he started getting seasick. And like young dads are, I was not thinking. I said, well, you better go down below.
Wrong. Yeah, absolutely wrong.
Because then you're cleaning up puke down below.
Right.
And you want to make me puke? Make me clean up puke.
Right, yeah. And it's and the thing is once you get down there, you lose vision of the horizon, and everything around you is left, right, up, down.
And I love that.
And it exacerbates the situation.
I love that. See, I think playing in the haylofts and...
I don't know. You used to like sleeping on the ground, too, so maybe you'll get over this as well.
But. Well, I... No, but I mean that motion and stuff. Driving a tractor as a little kid and swinging on ropes.
There's no waves on the tractor, dude.
No, I'm just saying the motion part for me was never an issue, and I think it has a lot to do with what you do as a little kid. And we did a lot of risky stuff. You waited till you were in your teens to do it. I've heard the stories already from your friend. I spent last weekend with Sherman, so I've got stories, Jop.
Yep, we wrapped a cutlass around a tree.
That's not the one I was going to talk about. Yeah. So go to Alan Bob's, get hooked up for big lake fishing. Dude, you can even fish off the pier. Holland, Saugatuck, Grand Haven, Muskegon, Ludington, Manistee.
Name them all, Bob. There's three more.
You know what? South Haven, Chicago.
All right.
Hey, what's that little port? Anyway.
In the storm.
Yes.
Right.
And then also, for me,
right,
like this next week, I will be setting up my new expedition tent in my volleyball court because I am not playing volleyball.
Yeah. And do an expedition to the backyard?
I got a big 14 by 20 expedition tent, and I got a deal on it. So it does not have a roof jack, so I'm going to be—
What's a roof jack in a tent?
It's just like it is in a house. It's
Do you like crank one up? And
Something you put a pipe through.
Oh,
so,
okay.
So I bought online this brilliant company out of, it's called Bear Paw or Bear Claws out of Colorado, makes awesome expedition tents. They hooked me right up, and you just have to cut a hole. You have to cut the hole kind of accurate.
Cut a hole in a new tent.
Yeah.
Great. And great. Then, this story's starting out really good
instruction.
Right now.
Here's the instruction from the factory. I said, do I have to stitch it on, or is there an adhesive? The guy said, well, you can stitch it, but honestly, if you use shoe goo, it's the best thing you could put on there. And I've used shoe goo to fix shoes before. You ever use it?
No,
you're big money. You just throw them out.
I just buy some new shoes, Bob. I don't goo my shoes.
I have
up.
Had to repair lots of teenagers' tennis shoes.
Yeah, right. That's why I don't have children.
I've
and you
never
had, five.
Had the money to throw shoes right. away, Joppy. I was born in these shoes.
Yeah, they kind of look like it, Bob. Maybe they're back in style though,
and they're bigger.
Yeah.
Hey, thanks for joining us on the Don't Stop Whining show.
Right.
Make sure you check out Fen Valley Online, and make sure you go down to Al and Bob's. And next week, you'll want to check out Shasta from Old World Olive Company because she's going to be oily.
She's sitting in the driver's chair next week, man. It's going to be good. But, hey, you've been listening to Grilling Guys. Thanks for tuning in. This was a wild and crazy show. We were all over the map, but I hope you picked up something
There's
out of it.
There's a change.
Right. And, yeah, some things never change. But get out in your backyard, fire up a grill, create some grill envy, and we'll talk with you next week.
See ya.